daughters, the princesses, had to put on these soft white silks, embroidered with topaz and dark amethyst, and had danced with the priestess of the tombs. There were little painted ivory tables in one of the treasuries, showing such a dance, and the lords and kings waiting outside the hall, for then, as now, no man ever set foot on the ground of the tombs. But the maidens might come in and dance with the priestess in white silk. The priestess herself wore rough cloth, homespun black, always, then and now. But she liked to come and finger the sweet, soft stuff, rotten with age, the unperishing jewels tearing from the cloth by their own slight weight. There was a scent in these chests, different from all the musks and incenses of the temples of the place. A fresher scent, fainter, younger. In the treasure rooms, she would spend a night learning the contents of a single chest, jewel by jewel, the rusted armor, the broken plumes of helms, the buckles and pins and brooches, bronze, silver gilt, and solid gold. Owls, undisturbed by her presence, sat on the rafters and opened and shut their yellow eyes. A bit of starlight shone in between the tiles of the roof, for the snow came sifting down, fine and cold as those ancient silks that fell to nothing at hand's touch. One night, late in the winter, it was too cold in the hall. She went to the trap door, raised it, swung down onto the steps, and closed it above her. She set off silently on the way she now knew so well, the passage to the undertomb. There, of course, she never bore a light. If she carried a lantern, from going in the labyrinth or in the dark of night above ground, she extinguished it before she came near the undertomb. She had never seen that place, never in all the generations of her priestesshood. In the passage now, she blew out the candle in the lamp she carried, and without slowing her pace at all, went forward in the pitch dark, easy as a little fish in dark water. Here, winter or summer, there was no cold, no heat. Always the same, even chill, a little damp, changeless. Up above, the great frozen winds of winter whipped thin snow over the desert. Here there was no wind, no season. It was close, it was still, it was safe. She was going to the painted room. She liked sometimes to go there and study the strange wall drawings that leapt out of the dark at the gleam of her candle. Men with long wings and great eyes, serene and morose. No one could tell her what they were. There were no such paintings elsewhere in the place. But she thought she knew. They were the spirits of the damned who are not reborn. The painted room was in the labyrinth, so she must pass through the cavern beneath the tombstones first. As she approached it down the slanting passage, a faint gray bloomed, a bare hint and glimmer, the echo of a distant light. She thought her eyes were tricking her, as they often did in that utter blackness. She closed them, and the glimmering vanished. She opened them, and it reappeared. She had stopped and was standing still. Gray, not black. A dull edge of pallor just visible, where nothing could be visible, where all must be black. She took a few steps forward and put out her hand to that angle of a tunnel wall, and infinitely faint, saw the movement of her hand. She went on. This was strange, beyond thought, beyond fear, this faint blooming of light where no light had ever been, in the inmost grave of darkness. She went noiseless on bare feet, black-clothed. At the last turn of the corridor, she halted, Then, very slowly, took the last step and looked and saw what she had never seen, not though she had lived 100 lives. The great vaulted cavern beneath the tombstones, not hollowed by man's hand, but by the powers of the earth. It was jeweled with crystals, and ornamented with pinnacles and filigrees of white limestone where the waters under earth had worked, eons since. Immense, with glittering roof and walls, sparkling, delicate, intricate, a palace of diamonds, a house of amethyst and crystal, from which the ancient darkness had been driven out by glory. Not bright, but dazzling to the dark accustomed eye, was the light that worked this wonder. It was a soft gleam, like marsh light, that moved slowly across the cavern, striking 1,000 scintillations from that jeweled roof, and shifting 1,000 fantastic shadows along the carven walls. The light burned at the end of a staff of wood, smokeless, unconsuming. The staff was held by a human hand. Arha saw the face beside the light, the dark face, the face of a man.